Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, wasn't she very captivating, Roisin Murphy there? Now, to the film world now, which Roisin Murphy is very happy with because she loves all movies. One of the hardest things to do, as we know in the arts, is getting a film made, especially in Ireland. Even the big names struggle to get there and some of them never do. But Patricia Kelly wrote and directed Verdigris. She got it done with basically just determination, the generosity of some professionals, and most importantly, a credit union loan. Where would we be without the credit union? Verdigris has now won a couple of awards and it's opened in cinemas across the country last Friday. One review said, Patricia Kelly's remarkable debut feature is a lovely tale of unlikely friendship inspired by her experiences as a census enumerator in Dublin's North Inner City. You never hear from the census people. How did she do it? Well, Patricia Kelly joins us in the studio. Welcome, Patricia.
Well, thanks very much. It's really great to be here today. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, really. We only shot the film. We started shooting at the very beginning of 2023.
Really?
And we won our first award at the Galway Film FLA, the Best Independent Feature, literally 6 months to the day that we started shooting.
That's
so an incredibly short time frame. And since then, the film has really travelled the world. It's won 12 festival awards in all. And it's amazing now to have it in select cinemas in Ireland.
To get it made as well, to have it in cinemas is another achievement, but that's because of the reception it's got at these festivals.
That's exactly it. You know, the festival, the very, you know, well-received festival run proved that there's an audience for it. It's a film that really resonates with people. We're forever hearing that it's their characters that people don't normally see. It's a storyline that's fairly rare. And so I think because of that, really, there is an audience for it. And it's great that they're coming out to support it this week.
Tell us a wee bit about your filmmaking life beforehand. How are you getting on in the industry?
Well, I started as an actor a million years ago, and then I became a screenwriter after that. But it's terribly difficult for anybody to break into the industry. You just have to keep going. You have to be unbelievably tenacious and stubborn and
dogged. A lot of rejections.
Oh, I mean, you just couldn't count them. Do you know what I mean? Year after year, decade after decade, absolutely. And you know, like most people, you'd find that you'd get a few little yeses along the way. That would be enough encouragement to think, okay, I'm on the right track here, you know, but just so desperately difficult. And film, you know, feature films, of course, in particular, are terribly difficult for anybody at any level to get across the line and to get made, which was why really out of sheer frustration, I started making my own shorts in 2019. Really, it was just to get something made, to get some credits. And then that led to taking the big plunge with my debut feature.
You said, I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it my way.
Exactly. That's it. Yep.
Where was the starting point? How did you begin?
Well, I was a census enumerator myself in 2016 in Dublin's North Inner City, and it was a really interesting experience. I was living there at the time, which is why I got that route. And then I did it again in 2022 out in Fingal, where I live now. It was a really interesting experience, and I, like all writers do, you kind of store something away in the back of your brain thinking, I'll come back to this at some point, you know. So when I was made redundant during COVID from the day job, and I thought, look, if ever there's a chance, if ever there's a time that I'm going to get a no budget debut feature up and running,
it's now
exactly.
Well, the census enumerator, because we learn a bit in the film about it. This is based on your own experiences. So you're dropping off the form and people are looking bewildered, going, well, what is this?
In fairness, now they do you know, the census team, they're very organised, and they do a lot of promoting and so on, you know.
Plenty
of ads, in fairness most people are aware of it, and some people, like, it really, you know, runs the gamut entirely. Some people want you to come in and sit down and have a cup of coffee and listen to their life story.
You don't have time for that.
Exactly, you can't, you know.
And the next person is turning you away.
Exactly, is just not answering their door. There's a lot of that. Or if they do answer their door, they sometimes tell you why they are not interested in giving it any of their information and so on. So it's all experiences, which is what was so interesting about it.
Were people rude?
Only the odd person.
No, oh, really? Mostly, okay.
Mostly, yeah, only the odd person. And, you know, so obviously for when you're writing a fiction story, you have to have a few more, a little bit more rudeness. But no, in general, it is. Now, in general, I suppose as well, that also depends on how you knock on their door and what you're like yourself, you know, and what kind of vibe you give off.
And this is the hook, isn't it? How these people, the two main characters, meet.
This is it. I you know, when I knew I was looking to write a character driven, relationship based story, I thought this, you know, Senses is a perfect vehicle for that, to have, you know, a woman who's a fish out of water in an area she doesn't know how to navigate, and then for her to you know, rub heads with somebody that initially wants nothing to do with her.
Tell us about the Senses Enumerator, first of all, because it opens with lots of cards marking a 65th birthday.
This is it.
There's a retirement.
It's
a woman deciding what to do.
That's it. Now she's 65. She's been made retire from her role as a legal secretary, and essentially she is looking for something else to do with her time. They were unfortunately never lucky enough to have kids, herself and her husband. Mm-hmm. And we discover over the course of the film that she is not in a happy marriage at all, and he's very controlling, and there's a lot of course of control going on there. He doesn't really want her to be having any kind of life outside the house, but she has to do something. So essentially,
he's a bad article.
He's the villain of the piece. This is it.
And what has he done to the dining room?
That's it. I really wanted to kind of get across, you know, what coercive control is like. And because a lot of people still aren't really aware, you know, they think, look, if you don't have cuts and bruises and you're not in hospital every other week, you're not in an abusive relationship. And that's just not the case. It was really important for me to highlight that in this story.
Oh, it's a suffocating atmosphere in the house. The emotional abuse. And she's such a lovely character, Marion.
That's it. And you really wanted to kind of show how this can happen over decades, you know. You obviously, very few people are going to partner up with somebody like Nigel at the beginning. You know, they sweet talk you into a situation, and
you got us there. The belittling and the tiny little jibes, and they just add up to a huge thing. Yeah. But Marion gets out and about with her Senses forms, and she meets who?
So she meets Jewel, who is a young girl, a late teenager, living in Dublin's north inner city in a flat complex, and she is, you know, quite feisty and quite bulgy, and has no interest at all in taking part in the Senses or having any kind of dealings. But when Marion first sees her, she notices that she has a black eye, and she's a little concerned about her and wants to check that, you know, she's okay, and Jewel is having none of it initially. And eventually Marion realises, because you do have to keep calling back to the same houses over and over and over again, so you notice things maybe that you wouldn't if you're just passing. She notices that she's living alone in this flat complex, and that she's probably underage and shouldn't be doing so, and she tries to, she comes up with this idea that actually this young one can help her knock on doors, can just show
her
how to.
She's a brilliant character.
She is. Jewel was a joy to write. They both were, in fairness, you know. But it was an awful lot of fun to write the pair of them, and their sparring, and how their relationship changes, and how they start to trust each other, and then it all falls apart, and then they have to, you know, figure out how to relate to each other again, and ultimately change each other's lives for the better.
But I love those early parts where she's kind of training her how to basically walk around the north inner city and not look like a middle class lady.
Exactly. How to fit in a little bit more, how to not rub people up the wrong way.
Tell us about the two lead actors in this, because they are the winning formula in this
film.
They
are amazing. They both are. Geraldine McAlinden, who a lot of people have seen many times in projects she's been acting for a good number of years. She is just fabulous in Marion. And what I love most about her, she plays her kind of with such subtlety. And she's just a dote, as is Geraldine herself. So it was wonderful. I met Geraldine a few years ago, actually, when she was auditioning for another piece that I was doing, and when her agent recommended her for this role, I said I absolutely want to see Geraldine do a tape of this. She was fantastic. Yeah. You know,
no, she's extraordinary.
She's
completely believable as that character.
She is.
And Maya O'Shea,
yes, and Maya, she's a real find. Yes, she's an emerging actor now. Thankfully, she's starting to really get recognised, and she is just so talented. She really works off instinct, and she's, you know, she's surprising, and she is just amazing as Jewel. I hope and expect that she has a very long, fabulous career ahead of her. And again, yes, her agent suggested her along with other people. She sent in a self-tape and it was one of those that it just, you know, stood out along with everybody, along with a couple of others, you know.
We've a texter in already saying, went to Verdigris yesterday in the Lighthouse Cinema. It's fabulous, heartwarming, gritty, authentic, beautifully shot in Dublin's northern city. The casts are terrific.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Has this opened doors now?
It has, for sure, yes. Unquestionably. Well, for a start, I'm currently now co-writing a feature film, which is a play adaptation. And we've gotten support from Screen Ireland, script development support. And that came directly because the playwright actually came along to see Verdigris when it was in a film festival in LA. So when that play was optioned by the producer, and he said, you don't have screen experience, so we need to partner you up with somebody who has script writing experience. She recommended me because she'd love Verdigris. So that was something that very, very specifically has come from that.
Yeah,
but other than that, look, I'm even noticing, of course, you know, my emails are more likely to be read, occasionally answered.
Really? Okay.
Things like that. So no, it has. It has definitely opened doors.
And that's the turn. That's the kind of silent rejection that you get.
Yeah, now there's still plenty of them. They still come in thick and fast in some weeks, don't worry.
But once they're coming in at all. Like many people in the Irish film industry, you've other jobs as well. You're working away.
Yes, we all have side gigs, and one of my side gigs, I'm a freelance court transcriber. So I sit at home with my headphones on, my foot on the foot pedal, my fingers on the keyboard, and I listen into the court recordings of earlier that day.
Wow.
And I transcribe them so that they're
the stenographer.
The stenographer tends to be actually in the courtroom.
Yes.
And then the transcribers are generally remote, sitting at home
in
our pajamas.
Using a different machine then?
No, it's essentially just the keyboard and the laptop or the PC and logging on to the cloud and listening in and transcribing in a very kind of specific format and uploading it as quickly as possible so that they're there for all of the legal bodies to be able to reference.
They'll be watching out for courtroom dramas.
That's it. It is interesting, and it is something that also then comes into my creative life as well.
When you're doing your stenography, is that the term, on the machine, it's so fast.
Yes, you have to be a fast typist.
You're completely concentrating on what's being said.
Yes.
Sometimes their head is kind of facing in such a direction, it almost seems like they're daydreaming.
Yeah,
you know, but you're totally taking it.
Exactly.
Everything's going on.
Well, and at least, look, that's the beauty of it being, it being pre-recorded for me so that I can just listen again with the foot pedal back and back.
That's what the foot pedal is.
Exactly, yeah. So you control it so that you can have your two hands on the keyboard.
Is there a different name on that whole system or...?
I only know it as court transcribing.
The keyboard is not like a normal QWERTY.
It is a normal, yeah. No, it's just your regular, same as you've got right there.
Incredible speeds. Yeah, we'll definitely be watching out for that. But the big thank you. Screen Ireland did help Verdigris in the end, did it?
No, unfortunately. Oh. No, they didn't. Yeah, we are a totally independent feature film. We've really had to just look after it all ourselves.
They must be talking to you now, though.
They are. I thankfully now I have two scripts that I'm writing now and in funded feature development, which is fantastic.
Can we ask how much the company had to borrow from the credit union?
Now, our sales agent, well, I mean, personally, I wouldn't mind telling you, I'm quite proud of it, but our sales agent is working very hard in the background trying to get sales in all the territories across the world, and they have asked us to not go into specifics.
You'll pay the loan back.
That's it.
But everybody worked their hardest and for a very low fee.
Very, very much so. It was written to be able to be shot in 15 days. It was written to be able to be made with an entire cast and crew of 40 people. So it was, you know, 40 very, very dedicated people.
Incredible success. Well done,
indeed.
Patricia Kelly. Verdigris, which is Verdigris, in case you don't know, Verdigris are on around Ireland. It's in the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin, Rathmines Omniplex, Galway's Eye Cinema, Cork's Omniplex in Mahon, and it's coming to the Queen's Film Theatre in Belfast. So everywhere. Patricia Kelly, well done.
Thank you
so much.
Talk
to you for the next one.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
From the North, text studio, followed by your message to 80889.